Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, Packer fans? Happy Friday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. It is Javon Buller Deep Dive Day for those who celebrate. What better day than a Friday? What better day than first day of Packers rookie minicamp? In a way, I know the offseason obviously has all the excitement of coaching changes and free agency and the draft, but in a weird sort of roundabout way, this rookie minicamp is really sort of the start of the entire offseason program, at least from like an ability to cover it and talk about it standpoint. You get rookie minicamps this weekend, you get a couple weeks of a breather, and then all of a sudden it's minicamps and OTAs, and I talk about this all the time, but it's training camp, and then before you know it, I was just looking at this today. June, July, August, September, we are just over 4 months away from actual NFL football, the Packers in Brazil. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I cannot believe that we're just a little over 4 months away from being able to actually watch Packers football again. But rookie minicamp kicks off today. That should be super fun. Before we get into Javon Bullard, shout out to Fenix 138, Kyle, Jeff Snyder, Lewis Chapman, and John Sweden for becoming all new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. We are closing in on 400 members, which feels crazy, but thank you so much for supporting the channel. It means a ton to me. We did have a couple pieces of Packers information from Thursday as well. Eric Stokes, as expected, no fifth-year option. I just don't understand any world in which you possibly could pick up that fifth-year option. As a rookie, solid, really solid season, really impressed by what he was able to do as a rookie. I think that season still gets a little bit overrated. It was good. It was good, especially for a rookie. It was good. It wasn't great, but it was good. And then he comes back year two prior to the injury, really struggles before the injury, then gets hurt for the remainder of the season, barely plays last year. When he did play, did not look good. A lot of that could have just been rust, but I don't know how you can possibly pick up that fifth-year option when in the past two seasons he's barely played, and when he did, it did not look good. So you're going to get to see him, what he, you know, is able to do. It sounds like he's healthy and ready to go. We are all cheering on a Eric Stokes resurgence. We all want to see him be a legitimate starting corner in this league. And if that means he balls out this year and then you have to decide if you want to give him a big contract, so be it. But I just cannot fathom a situation in which you possibly could have picked up that fifth year. And you have to think too that Goody was going to be a little bit more cautious and careful after incorrectly picking up the fifth year option on Darnell Savage the last time they had this opportunity. And it didn't necessarily go according to plan. Obviously last year they did a great job with the Jordan Love decision where they sort of hedged midway and it worked for Jordan. It worked for the Packers and they made that work. But this was a really smart move. I don't know any way that you, I don't know if anyone that would defend that the Packers should have actually picked it up. Not surprising, but that was official on Thursday. And then we did get some new uniform numbers as well. Evan Williams, the safety, is going to wear number 33. Jacob Monk, the offensive lineman, number 62. Ketan Oladapo, the safety, number 27. Travis Glover, offensive line, number 79. Michael Pratt, the quarterback, number 17. And Kalen King, the corner, number 34. Just a moment before you get your Michael Pratt jersey, just remember that Anders Carlson and Michael Pratt both are wearing number 17. I think there's actually a decent chance that both make the 53. If that happens, of course, one of them will have to change numbers. Maybe it's Anders Carlson. Maybe it's the backup slash number three quarterback. And I'm sure there's a decent chance that Michael Pratt would actually like a different number, but we'll have to sort of wait and see. But if you're thinking of getting your Michael Pratt jersey, maybe just wait a hot second to see what number he actually ends up with, if in fact he does make the 53-man roster. And with that being said, we're on to Javon Bullard. So let's start right away. 5'10", 198 pounds, safety out of the University of Georgia, a third-year junior, only 21 years old. He will turn 22 in September, 30.75-inch arms. Guess what? He has short arms, as does like every player in this class, it seems like. How much that affects a defensive back, especially if he's not playing like press man coverage on the outside, it's limited, but it just affects your length, right? If you're shorter, you don't have longer arms. You know, think of those, you know, if you're playing deep safety and you're ranging over and you're trying to range over and high point a ball or knock a ball away, the longer you are, the taller you are, those arm length, those things matter. It can be, you know, we talk about all the time and it's a little bit cliche and obvious, but the NFL and football is a game of inches. A lot of times it's not, but sometimes it is. And sometimes that little bit extra arm length can mean the difference between a pass broken up and a massive touchdown play. You just never know. But his arms are a little bit shorter, and then he has 9-inch hands overall. Statistically, in 2023, 56 tackles, one tackle for loss, no sacks, no forced fumbles, 7 passes broken up, and 2 interceptions. In 2022, he had 46 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, no forced fumbles, 5 passes defensed, and 2 picks as well. His career statistics, I'll get back to this in just a second. His career statistics, 114 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, no forced fumbles, 12 passes defended, and 4 interceptions. 14 would have been awesome, but 4 interceptions. And what I was going to say just a second ago is, if you sort of want to break down his, you know, his 2 seasons that he primarily played, in 2023, he was primarily a safety. In 2022, he was primarily a slot corner. It's not exactly that. There was some nuance in between the two, but primarily 2022 slot, primarily 2023, an actual safety. Played a lot in the box, played some deep, but that was sort of the breakdown. In 2023, when he was targeted in coverage, again, this was more as a safety, 14 of 26 quarterbacks went against him, 53.8% completion percentage, only 119 yards, which is a really low number. 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, a 34.0 passer rating. That is phenomenal, to say the least, and only 1 penalty. In 2022, again, this is when he was more of the slot corner, had 52 attempts against him, allowed 34 completions, 65.4% completion percentage, 303 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, a 77.6 passer rating, did have 3 penalties. And for his career, he was targeted 85 times, 53 completions, 62.4% completion percentage for 453 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 picks, a 64.5 passer rating, and 5 total penalties. In 2023, these statistics are per PFF, by the way. In 2023, 10.8% missed tackle percentage with 13 stops. In 2022, 9.4% missed tackle percentage with 26 stops. And for his career, 9.2% missed tackle percentage, not bad for a safety, 43 stops. And again, stops are tackles that constitute a failure on offense per PFF. All right, athletically, Javon Bullard had an 8.25 relative athletic score. He was 22nd percentile in height, 47th percentile in weight, 69th percentile in the bench press, 33 percentile in the vertical jump, 88th percentile in the 40-yard dash, 96th percentile in the 10-yard split, 98th percentile in the short shuttle, and 68th percentile in the 3 cone. So tested out very, very well. A little worse on the vertical than you would ideally like, but again, remember, he's a little on the shorter side, 5'10". And overall, though, you see him actually high point the ball in the field at times, so you're not super concerned about it. But outside of that, despite being a little bit on the short side, a little bit on the light side, he tested extremely well athletically outside of, again, his vertical jump. His athletic comps, there's a few. Antoine Bethea, the former safety, Indianapolis Colts, played for a few different teams. Athletically, he sort of matches up pretty well from that standpoint. Minka Fitzpatrick, Buda Baker, and even Darnell Savage have some athletic similarities there as well. I don't think there's a perfect 1A athletic comp that you can just be like, yes, these are the same guys. But those sort of players are sort of in the same range or realm of what you would see, you know, from past athletic profiles compared to Javon Baker. From a grading standpoint, PFF in 2023 had an 82.8 grade on 596 snaps. In 2022, an 80.4 grade on 624 total snaps. And in 2021, a 70.4 grade on 138 total snaps. Per PFF, he played 169 snaps as a box safety in his career, 408 snaps as a free safety, and 726 snaps as a slot/nickel corner. He also had 282 overall special teams reps, had a 60.9 grade in 2023, a 59.4 grade in 2022, and a 58.5 grade in 2021, basically right around average, but again, does have those 282 special team snaps in his career. What I want to go back to from the grade standpoint, say what you will about PFF's grades, whether you believe them, trust them, don't trust them, anything in between. It is always still good to see in 2021, 70.4, then 80.4 the next year, then 82.8 the following year. You still want to see that whatever you think of the grading scale, you still want to see it get better year over year, regardless of the grading scale that they're actually using. I had some info on Javon Bullard. He did have a DUI on September 2022. He was suspended for one game due to that incident. It does seem, per all indications and all accounts, that he has learned from that situation, improved from it, and has, again, really been focused on football and doing all the right things. So we will have to wait and see if he has any other sort of incidents. Hopefully he has learned his lesson and doesn't end up being an issue again, but did have that DUI in September 2022. And more recently, on a good news side of things, he was voted the top safety on the American team at the Senior Bowl. The top safety on the national team at the Senior Bowl was also a Green Bay Packer, and that is Evan Williams, the safety that they got in the fourth round. All right, let's get into some positives and negatives. The tape review was really, really fun on Javon Bullard, and excited to kind of go through all of this with you. From a positive standpoint, he is a fearless attacking safety. Just like we sort of talked about with Edgerrin Cooper, fearless attacking linebacker, they're not the same types of players. Like, you see the overall just ferocity with Edgerrin Cooper just a little bit more, but this is still a player that will attack outside screens, attack his alley in the run game, plays completely fearless, and is not afraid to take on anyone. And one of the things that was just a key takeaway for me is these defenders that they added, specifically in the second round in Edgerrin Cooper and in Javon Bullard, are going to add a new dimension, a new physicality, and a new intensity to this defense. And I am so excited to watch both of those players that I think will bring that in Jeff Hafley's defense. And I think it will be noticeable very, very early on. He plays extremely fast downhill, and the 4.440 shows up on tape. And we'll talk about this and how the speed sort of translates. When he is playing with things in front of him, he is triggering and getting from point A to point B wherever he wants on the field and making big time plays. We'll talk a little bit later about how he's transitioning going backwards, but when he's keeping things in front of him and can trigger moving forwards, that's when you really see that 4.440 speed play. There was a transition that he had at the top of a route in coverage that was just ridiculously good. The wide receivers running a little bit of like a comeback route on the outside. He sinks his hips, transitions, and just bullets the ball. And if the quarterback threw the ball on target, we're talking pick six territory here. And just that ability as a safety to be able to move, like, you're talking like corner ability to get back in his back pedal, dip back, and then explode to the football. It was a pretty special play. I captured it on Twitter if you want to go watch it. But just being able to see that ability out of him was pretty special. He has the ability to trigger in the run game, in coverage, and as a blitzer. And that's sort of what you want to see from a safety that's going to be being in this beautiful tandem, I believe, with Xavier McKinney and having the versatility to play some other positions. But he can get off the edge and blitz the quarterback and have that ability to use that 4.440 speed. I've seen him go from deep safety and get into the alley and come up aggressively and attack in the running game. I've seen him get out to outside screens and attack in the outside screens. I've seen him, like I said, attacking coverage. Whatever you need him to do, he displays that ability to trigger on the ball, use that 4.440, keep everything in front of him, and then go make a play on it. And that's really what the special trait is. When you see that 4.440, it's not just the ability to run from point A to point B, but it's to get there in a hurry and then make a play on the ball and make things happen. And that's what's, again, one of the special traits of Javon Bullard. One-on-one with Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall, 49ers first-round pick, one of my absolute favorite players in this draft, and a player whose route running is spectacular. Hey friends, you may not know this because usually you hear me talking about the Packers 365 days a year, but I am actually a massive, massive fan of the NBA playoffs. And while I've always enjoyed NBA basketball, it's been taken to an entirely different level as I've been utilizing Prize Picks to test my skills and add to that excitement level of the NBA playoffs. Prize Picks is the most fun that I have ever had, winning up to 100 times my money, and there's never been a better time to join the Prize Picks community. Did you know that there's over 5 million members that have already downloaded the app? 5 million! This playoff season, star players are in play in a significant way. Keep an eye out for star players on the board, and you could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. This week, I'm going with Brooke Lopez, Paul George, and Jalen Brunson for rebounds, points, and assists, respectively. And I'm already geeking out about putting Caitlin Clark's three-pointers made stat line in my lineup when women's season tips off in just over a month. Basketball plus Prize Picks equals epic excitement. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. There is nothing quite like the thrill of live NBA playoff basketball this time of year. And if you haven't had the opportunity to catch a playoff game in person, let me just tell you, you are missing out. But you don't need to be. You could attend an NBA playoff game easily with the use of Game Time. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. And guess what? Prices actually go down the closer that you get to tip off. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, seat views, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes all the awful, frustrating aspects of purchasing tickets out of the equation, and they help you get the perfect tickets that you want. I'm on my Game Time app right now, scrolling through Bucks tickets for Game 5, and not only are there plenty of great seats available, but the deals are incredible, and I can literally click and purchase any number of amazing deals right now. The best thing about Game Time is definitely the ease of use, no question about it, but their lowest price guarantee and their cancellation protection have come in huge for me in the past and are two more of my favorite features. Let me just say it again. The last minute deals come in clutch every single time. You can save up to 60% by buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. So get in on the action and take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. He had back-to-back plays against Ricky Pearsall, third down and fourth down, and they're both in the red zone, and he's in the slot. And the first one, he's playing a little bit more off coverage, and Pearsall is going right at him, and you know, he tries to give him the fake that he's going to go for a post, and then he goes back to the corner. And great route by Pearsall. Of course, he can attack in any direction. He's got great route running ability. And Bullard just hangs right with him, waits for him to break, goes with him on his break, flips his hips, turns around, gets his eye on the ball, and sticks with him every single second. The ball went the way. I can't remember if he actually batted it away. I think it maybe just went out the back of the end zone. But the coverage on one of the best wide receivers in college football, one of the best route runners in college football, was fantastic. So what do they do on the very next play? Fourth down, red zone, same thing. Now, Javon Bullard is up at the line of scrimmage, playing a little bit closer coverage, playing a little bit of press man with him. And what happens? Ricky Pearsall goes right at him, tries to get to that corner route again. And guess what? Javon Bullard shuts him down for the second consecutive play. Two different types of coverage. Did not matter. One of the best route runners in college football. And he just stuck with them. And that play, the quarterback got pressured and he threw it up. And actually another Georgia defender ended up intercepting it. The result was irrelevant. The coverage was fantastic. And his ability to see route combinations and understand route combinations is another thing that when he was at slot corner, but it definitely helps him at safety as well, you could see he had a great understanding of that. And what that usually lends itself to, or lends me to believe, is that he does tape study and takes it seriously, because you don't end up with Ricky Pearsall and him having a two-way go and like understanding what directions he could possibly go in if you don't have an understanding of route concepts and if you don't have an understanding of maybe what he has a tendency to do. But he stuck with it. He was right there every step of the way, covered him perfectly, literally perfectly. And I have at least a hunch that he probably does quite a bit of tape study and takes it very seriously, because that's what shows up on tape, is that he understands those concepts and attacks them and trusts them when he's playing back either in the slot or back at safety. Versatility. We'll talk about this a little bit as well, but we already mentioned, you know, he's played in the box, he's played in the slot, he's played at post safety, he's played at two high safety. He's done everything, and he's done everything well in college. Like, you watch him as a post safety, you will see him get sideline to sideline. You will see him high point the ball and make plays. You will see him in the slot. We just talked about covering Ricky Pearsall. We will see him in the box, triggering and making plays in the backfield. We'll see him blitz off the edge as a corner. We'll see everything. And he did all of it well. So his ability to do all of those different things in college is going to help him in the NFL. And it's going to give Jeff Hafley a lot of different ways that they can utilize Bullard in whatever way that Jeff Hafley seems fit to utilize him. And I believe that there's one specific way that he could be potentially better than others, but we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. He has a very natural feel for the game. It seems to come easy to him. He has a great passion for the game, a great energy for the game, and he plays it the right way. And those are all things that you want to see out of your defensive back, of every player on the field, of course, but in your defensive backfield, those guys that are not afraid to come up and tackle. We've seen too many players in Green Bay that are timid coming up and playing the run, or just, you know, timid coming up and making a play, trying to make a hard hit or jarring a ball loose. This is not Javon Bullard. There's a beautiful play that I posted as well where he's coming from the deep safety and it's a little slant. It's another one that he has a great understanding of the route, probably knows what the receiver's going to do. He triggers on it right away and he lays the boom on the wide receiver and discharges, you know, the ball loose. And it's just, that's the type of player that you're going to get with Javon Bullard, is somebody that's not afraid to lay the big hit. And it doesn't matter that he's 5'10", 190, whatever. He is going to hit you and he's going to hit you hard and you're going to feel it. And that ball is going to dislodge. And it doesn't matter if you're a big running back, small running back, wide receiver, tight end, you're going to feel him hit you. And that's that explosiveness that he will hit you with. He's coming fast. He's coming hard. He's coming physical. And you're just going to feel it when he tries to run right through you. There are times he gets a little bit over aggressive at times, or you know, just maybe goes a little bit too early and over pursues. That's going to happen with the way that he plays, just kind of like we talked about with Adrian Cooper yesterday. But these are the type of plays that you want to see from him, are these attacking style plays. That's how he plays naturally. And you're, like I said, the wide receivers and everyone on the field is going to be well aware of where Javon Bullard is, and he will let you have it if you give him the opportunity and are not aware of where he is on the field. He attacks wide receiver screens in a couple different ways. First is that there's that a little bit of that Jair mentality where throwing wide receivers into the backfield and, you know, just kind of attacking it that way. But he will get through and make the plays on the actual receiver that's catching it himself. But he will also stack the tight ends or wide receivers that are trying to block and just allow no ability to get any movement. And he just kind of clogs everything up. And I've seen him even take on like a double team and sort of clog it up in the screen game. So whatever you need him to do, if he is on that slot corner and he's the one that's going to get blocked, he will still shut it down so that you don't have an angle to take. And he kind of forces you back inside. It's almost like setting the edge on the edge. He's forcing you back inside to where all those linebackers are going to help. What did we talk about yesterday with Adrian Cooper? His ability to get over on those wide receiver screens. If Javon Bullard is playing in the slot and you're going to try to block him and Bullard's going to force you back inside, and now you've got insane Adrian Cooper flying out to the sidelines, good luck. Good luck on your wide receiver screens. I wish you all of the luck in the world, because you are going to need it, because those guys are going to be attacking it. And then the other thing too is he'll attack it from safety and take a good angle to it. And even if he is lined up and he's supposed to be blocked, I've seen him split those blocks and go make the play in the backfield himself. Screw Adrian Cooper coming over, I'll just take care of it. You know, so those are the sort of things that you see from him in the wide receiver screen game. And whatever his job is, whether it's to break that up and try to go make the play, or whether it's just to take on the block and make sure that that screen can't go anywhere, he can do all of it. I think he takes very smart angles to the football. There's some, maybe, you know, some consistency issues there from time to time, but overall, this is where the natural instincts and just ability to play the position. And he takes great angles from all over the field. I saw him take great angles from center high safety, great angles as a box safety, great angles as a slot corner. Just again, that natural innate feel for the game. He has a really good blitzing ability off the edge. If you do want to use him as that bigger slot corner, not, I say bigger, and usually what I mean with bigger is like a big three, meaning that you're using three safeties, two over the top and one in the slot, rather than three corners and two safeties. But if you do want to use him in that slot position, he can blitz off the edge and he will get there in a hurry and you will feel him very quickly. And if you don't recognize the blitz and it goes unblocked, you're just going to get sacked. And he gets there quickly, but under control, which is what's really impressive as well. Again, more than a couple big hits on tape that, again, make his presence known in a very strong way. He also knows when to floor it, and he knows when to stay patient. There are times where he will trigger and go a million miles per hour and get there and go make the play. And it's awesome. There are other times, whether it be in coverage or in run defense, where he knows he has to let the play develop a little bit more. Because if he goes quickly, he could over pursue or leave another lane open for a cutback or whatever it might be. and the offense could end up with a big explosive play because of it. So he has that ability to understand, all right, yes, I could go make a play right now, but if I miss or if he cuts back on me and I don't get him, it's going to result in a big play. So I need to stay a little bit patient. There's a play in coverage that I posted where it's a third down and the wide receiver is coming at him and he could probably go make a move, but he could be susceptible to a double move in that situation. So instead, he just stays patient, lets the wide receiver finally make his move, crashes on it, goes and bats away the play, and it's a big third down incompletion. And those are the moments where you see that he has the ability to be patient, but you see plenty of times where he's willing to play super aggressive and do whatever he needs to do to take down a ball carrier, get where he needs to get in coverage. 282 special team snaps, as we mentioned, so he does have that special teams versatility as well. He's very consistent in his run fits, and he hits the lane with intensity. This is not your... I don't know. We don't need to name names and throw anyone under the bus, but this is not your safety that's coming up kind of pedestrian. If I get there, I get there. And, you know, even if I do get there, you might make a move on me in the open field and I'm going to take it for a touchdown, maybe in a big divisional playoff game. This is not that. He's going to come, he's going to fill that lane, and you are going to know that he is there and he is going to get you to the ground. I am not saying Javon Bullard is perfect. I'm not saying that he can't make a mistake from time to time. There's a play against, Jalen Wright, the running back from Tennessee, where he's sort of like the last line of defense, and Jalen Wright just bursts right by him. So I'm not saying that he's perfect here, but he plays the game the right way, the way it's supposed to be played. He's going to fill that lane, fill that gap, and he's going to be there. And if you beat him, so what? It's going to happen from time to time, but he's going to be in the right spot at the right time, and he's going to do everything in his power to make sure that you're not beating him because he's not in the place that he's supposed to be. And lastly, he is considered a team leader and a great locker room presence, despite not being a team captain. He's probably somebody who, if he came back for a senior year, would have been very much in the consideration for a team captain. But either way, you're getting another really strong Packers person that loves the sport of football and is going to add to that locker room rather than detract from it. His negatives, there's a couple. And the first one, interestingly enough, despite running the 4.440, is long speed. And there's a couple ways that this plays out. First of all, let's talk about him in the slot, because when he's playing faster wide receivers, he struggles to hang with them deep. It just is what it is. If you get really fast wide receivers lined up against Bullard in the slot, there's a play. Who was it against? I forget. I want to say it was Pitt. There's a play. It's either Pitt or someone like that. No, it can't be Pitt because it might have been Vanderbilt. I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter. He's in the slot against, and they get pressure on the quarterback right away, and he doesn't have a safety over the top of him. They bring somebody from depth, and he's in the slot one-on-one, and the quarterback has to get rid of the ball right away, and the receiver just gets the release off the line of scrimmage, and he just runs by Bullard, and it ends up being a huge completion. Despite getting pressure, the quarterback recognizes the one-on-one, the receiver beats him clean, and it's an easy completion down the field. You're going to have to sort of pick your matchups with how you utilize him, because speed will give him trouble. More importantly, I mentioned before that coming forward, that speed shows up in a major way. Going forward, it does. The 4.440 plays on every play when he's moving forward. He triggers, he sees it, he goes, he's instinctual, and that 4.440 shows up in a flash. When he's going the opposite way, and I mentioned this actually on the tape with Cooper DeJean as well, but when he's going the opposite way, and this is where that tight hipness comes in sometimes, because you got to turn around and then get up to speed quickly to catch up with somebody. That recovery speed, that long speed, that little hitch in his, in his hips, and his ability to recover on that and that long speed shows up in a negative way. So the testing was good, and you believe that he's going to be able to be somebody that's fast enough on the field. But there were plenty of plays in college when he's trying to catch up with faster receivers where he just could not do it. It showed up sometimes on crossing routes as well. It showed up on that play with Jalen Wright where he was, Jalen Wright just got a small angle on him. And despite, Bullard should have had like the angle to cut him off, Wright just went right by him. So that long speed can be an issue. I don't know if you want to say like quicker than fast, but he's able to get to his spots on the field and trigger moving forward. But when he has to sort of, kind of turn and go, that's where you see that speed not be quite as good going back the opposite direction. And that's where he can ultimately get beat. He will also struggle against quicker wide receivers. And that's, again, where that little bit of twitch in his hips comes through. He needs to stay a little bit lower. you will see him again with receivers that have that two-way go, that they will give him a little bit of a juke and he will get kind of leaning one direction. He needs to have a little bit better balance in those situations and they'll get him leaning and then they'll go in the opposite direction and it's some easy completions. He also showed again against Ricky Pearsall that he could cover a really great, fast, shifty wide receiver in certain instances. But there are plays that show up that leave you wanting more as a pure man-to-man cover corner because of some of that long speed and just that shiftiness that does give him some trouble. His feet will get stuck in coverage. The play that I mentioned where he made a great job of staying patient on the third down and then going and batting away the ball, even on that play, his feet get stuck. They're just sort of stuck in mud. Now, he's being patient. That's great. And he's understanding, and then he's going to go. But you want to see him stay on his toes a little bit more so he can change direction or go wherever he needs to go. Just in case that receiver gives him a double move or tries to go the opposite way, you don't want to think you know where it's going and then trigger one way when it could go the opposite direction. So keep those feet moving. Don't get them stuck in mud. As we mentioned earlier, he is undersized with shorter arms. It's just going to give you some limitations in coverage. And whether that's man-to-man in the slot or whether that's ranging from center field over, you're just lacking in height, you're lacking in length, and it can just be, again, the difference between batting away a pass and it being a big completion. So just worth noting. The versatility that he has will vary. And what I mean by this is, yes, he played a ton in the slot. Yes, he played deep safety. Yes, he played box safety. Yes, he played all over the place, and that's great. But specifically with the slot corner, kind of what we were talking about being, you know, struggling with different types of wide receivers or long speed or maybe even some of the shiftier wide receivers, you're going to have to be careful about what plays that you match him up in the slot. If it's a third and 10 and you've got a Justin Jefferson, a Tyreek Hill, or it doesn't even have to be a elite player, just like somebody that has that long speed, could be somebody like a Christian Watson in the slot, could be somebody like, quite frankly, a Dontavian Wicks. And I know he's not going to have to go against those players, but those type of players, if he has one of those players in the slot, even a Jaden Reed, I could see those players giving him a lot of trouble in the slot, quite frankly, in man-to-man coverage. So you're going to have to be careful about who he gets matched up on. I do think he can play slot on early downs, meaning a more likely rundown, and maybe you don't even have a player in the slot, or maybe it's a tight end that's not named Travis Kelce and you feel comfortable about the matchup, whatever it might be. I do think you can play him in that slot. I do think you can play him in nickel, but you just have to be conscientious of who he's going against and what type of coverage you're calling. If you're in zone, good, but you also can't get to the point where, all right, if Javon Bullard's in the slot, you know it's going to be zone. He's going to have to play some man-to-man, and you are going to have to be cognizant of the different matchups. I love Ben Fennell on this the other day. There are different slot types in the NFL, and we've talked about this forever, where I've said the job description for slot corner is the toughest in the NFL because you might have to take on a pulling tackle or guard or a George Kittle or a Kyle Juszczyk, and you might have to like go up against them one-on-one as they're trying to block you into oblivion. You might get matched up with Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Christian McCaffrey, Jahmyr Gibbs, who knows? Like every Travis Kelce, George Kittle, all of them. You could get matched up with all different shapes, sizes, abilities, and all of them could have different two-way goes. They could run right past you. It is the toughest job description on defense, in my opinion. And with that, one size fits all is probably not smart at slot corner. Meaning, unless you have Charles Woodson in his prime or Jalen Ramsey in his prime, good luck. Good luck to who's ever in that spot. And Trent McDuffie can do a great job with it for KC as well. But there are times where, depending on what team you're going against, you might want a Javon Bullard in the slot to be a little bit more fast and physical. Despite his size, that's the way he plays. There are times where you might want a Keyshawn Nixon, somebody that can do a little bit of everything. He can cover well, he can blitz, he's good against the run. He's not great at anything, but he's good at a little bit of everything. There are other times where it's third and 15. It's an obvious passing down, and I want Jaire Alexander in there. It's Justin Jefferson or Tyreek Hill. I want my best corner matched up in that spot. And that's what I'm hoping we see from Jeff Hafley. And this is obviously more of a Packers overall discussion here, but I want to see them mix and match based on the opponent that they're going against, based on whoever is in that slot position. And I know you can't know necessarily pre-snap and guys are going to rotate and move around, but you have to know the opponent that you're going against and what their tendencies are in those situations so that you can get the right matchup and you don't have a Javon Bullard against a Tyreek Hill where Tyreek Hill is just going to burn right by him. Or you don't end up with a Jair Alexander having to take on a block from, you know, George Kittle or Kyle Juszczyk or Trent Williams, where he could have that shoulder injury again or just couldn't hold up at the point of attack. So you have to have the right players in the right place. I think Bullard can be that guy in certain situations, but I don't think you can just say he's a full-time slot corner and I think he's going to be perfect there. I don't think that's going to be the case. And numerous scouts on Bob McGinn's breakdown as well, and take those for what it's worth, they could easily be lying, but numerous scouts in that breakdown said he's a safety only. He's not going to be able to play in the slot in the NFL. I lean a little bit more that way. I do think there are scenarios and situations, and I do think we will see him in the slot, and I trust Jeff Hafley to utilize him the right way, but I actually like him a lot more as a safety, box safety, post safety, free safety, two-eye safety, wherever you want to use him. I'm good with it, but I do think he's actually portrays better at one of those true safety positions than he does playing full-time in the slot. Use him there when you want him to. No question about it. Yes, he can do it. I just don't think he can necessarily do it full-time against anyone that lines up in that slot position. Last couple negatives. I do think he gets away a little bit in college with grabbing some players from time to time. He's going to want to tone that down a little bit so he doesn't get penalties in the NFL. And I do question, can he be great at any of those one safety positions? Meaning, I know he can play a little in the slot. I know he can play some box safety. I know he can play some post safety. Is there any one of those that he can be great at? It doesn't necessarily have to be the case. He can be really good at all of them, and you will take that every single time. But I do wonder a little bit if there's that one perfect position for him. I do think there is in Jeff Hafley's defense, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. All right, what he can bring to the Packers in 2024. All right, that moment is now. We're going to talk about it right now. He's going to be an immediate starting safety, in my opinion, next to Xavier McKinney, and that is a beautiful spot for him. When Brian Gutekunst talked about that safety next to Xavier McKinney, he talked about the versatility, and yes, he mentioned the slot as well, which Bullard, again, can do a little bit of, but what you want more are safeties that are interchangeable and can do a little bit of everything, and that's what you get, meaning post-snap, pre-snap, you can move those guys around and you don't know who's going to be where. And you want to be able to disguise things and confuse opposing quarterbacks. And Bullard and McKinney together are going to be a very good duo. And I also think that all of the stuff that McKinney does great is going to unlock what Bullard does well and maybe cut down on some of those disadvantageous aspects about his game as well. It is a really good pairing together. I would probably limit some of the time in the slot to begin with. I think you begin with Keyshawn in the slot, with Jair and one of those other outside corners on the outside, with McKinney and Bullard as the other safety. Now, if Nixon struggles, or if Evan Williams all of a sudden looks amazing, or Ketan Oladapo all of a sudden looks amazing, by all means, then you have some options that you can utilize. But if it were me to begin with, I'm putting him at safety next to McKinney, and I'm letting both of those guys thrive, and I think do a phenomenal job playing off of each other. I do think you can use him as a big slot in certain situations. I think he's going to have that attacking play mentality, and he's going to play much bigger than his size right away. I don't think you want to use him as your primary slot corner, especially in man coverage against faster, quicker wide receivers. I do think he's another core locker room piece for this locker room. I think he plays with great consistency. I think he's going to do everything that he's going to, you know, supposed to do on the field, filling gaps, taking good angles, supporting his teammates, and being that great tag team partner with Xavier McKinney. And I just think those two are going to make one of the better safety combos in all the NFL. And I cannot wait to see them play together and off of each other. My final thoughts here, really great pick by Goody in late second round. Don't like it quite as much as the Edgerrin Cooper pick, but it's right there in the vicinity. I think he's a day one starter. I think he's more of a safety than a slot, as I've talked about. I think he can be a piece that gets attacked in certain matchups, but I also think Jeff Hafley can use him as a piece that is attacking in a variety of different matchups as well. And I do think Jeff Hafley will be creative with him and find ways to put him in the best position to succeed. And if you do that, if you've got a bright-minded defensive coordinator with a piece like Javon Bullard, he will know exactly how to use him, and you'll end up with a really good marriage between defensive coordinator and piece that can be maneuvered around in a variety of different ways. I trust Jeff Hafley to use that piece in the right way, and Javon Bullard is going to benefit from that. And the last thing I'll say here, Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, and Edgerrin Cooper, I'm just going to say it, have me excited about defensive football in Green Bay again. Not necessarily to say they're going to be a top X defense. I don't know where they're going to rank. I don't know how they're going to match up with other teams. There's a long ways to go. But the mentality that those three play with, we will see a difference. It is impossible not to see a difference bringing in Xavier McKinney, Edgerrin Cooper, and Javon Bullard with the play speed and the play mentality on the field. You add two safeties in the middle of the field and a linebacker in the middle of the field. You are going to feel their presence. You're going to feel their speed, their athleticism, and their ability to attack moving forward. You're going to feel it all the time. And that is going to be a lot different from what we felt from those safety and linebacker spots over the last far too many seasons. I am excited to watch some Packers defense in 2024. We'll see if that means it's great, good, average, bad, ugly. I don't know. Long ways to go, but I'm excited to see what it looks like based on the concept and based on the players that they've added to this Jeff Hafley defense. All right, that is going to do it for me today. I'm so excited to get to watch Javon Bullard and all of these rookies at rookie minicamp later today. I will be back Saturday morning breaking it all down for you from day one of minicamp and then Sunday morning again to break down day two of minicamp. Monday will be myself, Alex, and Perry. And then Tuesday, we will get to our round three deep dives, starting with Marshawn Lloyd on Tuesday and then continuing until we get through the remainder of our deep dives, including a undrafted free agent episode. I will see you guys soon. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broadad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnoldo Espinosa, and Michael Shipper. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.